Chapter 24. My American Friend. He was a man who knew a good Stilton cheese and preferred it over ripe. Siegfried Sassoon. In the summer, I moved to the big quiet room. I made it my home by hanging an Egyptian tapestry on the wall and setting up the ornamental chair Giddy had given me to bring to England. I had to persuade the pilot at Cairo Airport that it was safe to carry in the passenger cabin. It went well with my camel chair. I set my desk in front of the bay window and did not miss the traffic noise. I loved it when the sun shone into my windows, flooding the space with warm afternoon light. John Rackey, the American fellow OS student, lodged next door. He was in his early 30s, a decade older and more experienced in life than me, which I admired. He walked with military bearing and was of medium height with thinning hair. When he was demobilized from the United States Air Force, where he was stationed at Mildenhall, Sussex, he successfully competed for one of the mature student slots at the medical school. As a college student at Yale, he majored in electronic engineering and then worked at Westinghouse. He and his wife, as he described it to me, enjoyed a suburban life in Connecticut and were proud to become parents. My life ended when my wife was killed in a car accident. She was expecting twins. The matter-of-fact way he related the event struck me. I volunteered for the Air Force and trained at the Naval Air Station Pensacola and fell in love with flying and the Florida lifestyle. Smiling, he said playfully, "You Arab, you! Someday you should go to Florida." On seeing my surprised change of facial attitude and fearing I might take umbrage, he continued, saying, "It's from a fun song, Ahab the Arab. Have you never heard it?" I shook my head. "Have you seen the musical Oklahoma or South Pacific?" I once more shook my head. "Wow, you are missing life, my Arab friend. Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote wonderful songs." It was obvious that our cultural backgrounds were different. This in itself did not bother me. What irritated me was the way he said these things, making me feel like an ignoramus. He did not know of Kulthum or the beautiful heart-trembling Qur'an recitation of Sheikh Abdel Basit Abdel Samad. However, I did not challenge him, for I was enchanted by his story. He was slowly seducing me into American culture. As we became better friends, and knowing my love for flying, he told me that after advanced training at Pensacola, he was posted to Mildenhall, where he piloted a plane crammed with electronic gear and equipped with sideways-looking radar. He told me he had gone on 12-hour missions, flying up the Norwegian coast to the Arctic Circle and back. My co-pilot and I had a crew of 10 who spent their time testing the Russian radar system and jamming it. I interrupted his story by telling him of my crazy plan to get out of Egypt by flying west to Libya. He looked at me skeptically for a minute, then nodded, smiling. "You've got balls. I bet you would have gotten there somehow." He continued his story. "I was among the first in our squadron to take off, until one day, halfway through a mission, I had engine problems and had to ditch in the North Sea. It was freezing, and there was blood all around me in the water." He related how scared he had been and how the paralysis of fear had made it hard to haul himself into his rubber dinghy. "I had cut my arm with my knife when freeing myself from my parachute." After a silence, he added, "Some of my crew did not make it." Thereafter, I was the last to take off, compulsively going over all the items on the checklist. No shortcuts. On the day of his demobilization in 1963, his unit was deployed to Vietnam, where none of his crew survived. He joined our medical school. At first, he had difficulty focusing on book learning, but managed to overcome this problem. John, like Jonathan, became my close friend during our clinical student days. We shared a passion for classical music. Friday evenings we frequently went out for an early meal and returned to his room to enjoy piano concertos by Arthur Rubinstein. He claimed he was the very best pianist, and I accepted his judgment. John loved Liszt and Rachmaninoff, and he told me he had played the piano at concert level while at Yale. Maria Callas and Pavarotti were his favorite opera singers. He had numerous recordings of their work among his large vinyl collection. He was proud of his latest Fisher record player with its stereo sound system. Listening to his records revived my love for opera, connecting me to my Cairo days. He introduced me to Gilbert and Sullivan's operas and invited Victoria and me to The Pirates of Penzance, staged at the Tower of London. Despite his room being slightly smaller than mine and his tendency to play music on the loud side, I seldom heard it coming through our connecting walls. To John, everything in America was bigger and better. I teased him by saying I'd heard that even the raindrops in America were bigger and wetter. Some students found his American can-do, enthusiastic attitude off-putting and avoided him. He complained that in England the sun did not shine, the women were unfathomable, and there were no decent restaurants near UCH. It became clear over our 4 years at medical school that he was not a happy person. Perhaps his personal burdens were too heavy. When he returned to America for his holidays, he stayed with close relatives in Naples, Florida. He described Florida by a series of superlatives, indicating he would eventually practice in that beautiful sunny state, which had acres of orange groves, miles of yellow beaches, and the warm Gulf Stream. His love of America was infectious, such that I was burning to get my BTA, Been to America. He was not a beer or wine drinker, instead loving cocktails like Manhattans and Old Fashions. John's descriptions of an array of drinks was an education. Since my parents did not drink, I had zero knowledge of the world of alcohol. For my birthday, he gave me a copy of Old Mr. Boston, Deluxe Official Bartender's Guide, though I never acquired the taste of a regular drinker. Despite this, our friendship blossomed.